Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Representative Jen Coffey from Merrimack District 6. I originally brought forward this piece of legislation last session in hopes to suspend the rules, which unfortunately failed. This bill, I think, is important because it addresses some concerns that I think were unintended consequences of SB 500. In the first respect to violent criminals, it should be noted, and I'm sure this committee is well aware, that a large majority of those who max out, as you say, from prison are those who have failed to comply while in prison in order to earn parole. They've failed to go to pedophile classes. They've failed to comply with things that they should do in prison that have caused them to get in trouble. They've failed to meet the requirements to get parole. What we've done now is given them parole 9 months early. And in some cases, some of these folks are getting put back into society to services that are not yet set up fully. I know the intent was to set them up with services that they could be monitored, they could be assisted to getting back into society during that 9 month period of time, and that's an admirable cause. But it's almost, in a sense, for some of these people, a reward. You failed to get parole, so we'll let you out 9 months early, and hey, we're gonna hope we keep an eye on you. It's important that we know that our parole officers are seeing, on average, approximately 200 cases. They're sharing a car between them, but they're supposed to get checked on by the parole officer within their own home, and they're supposed to appear in front of the parole officer in their office. I don't believe that a human being, given a 24-hour day and a 7-day week, sharing a vehicle with somebody else and 400 cases between them, are going to successfully be able to do that. I don't think that we've given them the tools to do that. This bill takes the violent offenders out. It doesn't touch the non-violent offender, the person that we think could probably get back into society a little easier, that could get them out, to have them getting a job, becoming more productive members of society. But those that will do harm to another, I believe, are far more difficult to rehabilitate, especially when they've failed rehabilitation in prison to earn that parole to begin with. Another thing that I think was an unintended consequence, if you will, and what I have tried to correct in this bill, is parole board discretion. Parolees are often given rules of the road, if you will. They have to follow certain guidelines in order to stay within the parameters of their parole. A child molester may be told that they cannot go hang out at playgrounds. That's not a crime, but it can be a parole violation. Shouldn't that earn them the fear of being able to go put back in prison for the remainder of their sentence rather than 90 days in county lockup? The parole board needs to have that discretion. They know their parolees. They know what the crimes they've committed are. They know if they're catching this guy hanging around a school playground, he's got intent. And maybe those 2 years that were left on his sentence, he ought to be serving. Maybe we should need to have more chances to try and rehabilitate him if you can. Right now they don't. And it's downshifted costs to counties. These guys, instead of going back to prison because they violated their parole, are going to the county. And the excuse has been made, well, if they commit a crime, we can hold them for longer than 90 days. You know the criminal justice law better than I do. Last time I checked, it wasn't a crime to hang out at a playground. So they're not getting charged with something new. And that's important. The parole board needs to have that discretion. And I believe that SB 500 was introduced with well intent and a lot of study. But sometimes, as we all know, some things have some unintended consequences. This bill hopes to undo some of those. And with that, I'll keep it short because I know there's a lot of people behind me.
Yes, Representative Bill, thank you, Representative. Senate Bill 500 was set up to let people out that were going to max out in 9 months for supervision. What you're talking about is saying that we, Senate Bill 500, didn't give the parole board any discretion. Is that what you really mean?
Senate Bill 500 did more than just the early release. It also put this thing into place that if somebody violates their parole, they go back for 90 days. If they committed a crime during that time, they can then face additional charges. It took the discretion away from the parole board to look at somebody who violated, to put them back in prison where they came from versus county lockup jail for 90 days.
Would you believe that the parole board was invited to put forth their thoughts about this, and they never said we were overstepping their boundaries? They fought us every step of the way.
Would you believe that I saw testimony from the parole board saying that they were very concerned about this portion?
Any other questions?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. Representative, I know you're a very competent nurse and paramedic. And when someone comes into an emergency room, isn't the first thing they would do is triage to see what level of care that individual will need? And the reason I use that analogy, isn't that the same with SB 500? Instead of giving all your services and treatment opportunities to nonviolent felons, those that don't need the most supervision, you're performing triage and giving it to the violent felons, the ones that you know have a greater chance of recommitting when they go out, and so for a 9-month period, you're watching them intensely, so that when they max out, they just don't walk out the door and nobody tracks where they go and what they do.
I can understand the direction. Thank you for the question. I can understand the direction you're going in. My concern is, has the triage not been done when they failed to comply while they were in prison and they didn't qualify to get early release under probation because they failed to do what was necessary to earn it?
But to go back to my question, isn't it better to be able to track them for a 9-month period than to have them, as many prisoners have told me, they'd rather do time in jail than do it on paper, so that they can walk out the door after they max out and there's nobody looking over their shoulder?
I'm not in disagreement with you that being able to track a violent offender can absolutely carry its benefits, so long as that is 100% in place, that all of the tools are necessary or that are in place, that the tools needed for the parole officers are in place. I don't believe that those are in place throughout our entire state.